Good evening. Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. This morning we began talking about New Year's resolutions. We talked about how every year many of us make those resolutions, and many years we don't keep many of those resolutions. And we talked about some of the ones that many times we make from the spiritual side of things, such as reading through the Bible every year. But this morning we said we wanted to look at a different one. One that we noticed was important, and that is we want to resolve to love more. Now, we're not going to go back through all the verses that we noticed this morning, but I hope in looking at those verses, it emphasized and drove home the fact that love is a vital element in living the Christian life. And as we centered in on our thoughts for the lesson, we moved to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we began by noticing the necessity of love in verses 1 through 3. And then from that, we move to talk about the nature of love in verses 4 through 8. And that's where we were looking at this morning. Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Tonight we pick back up and looking at these different characteristics. And if you remember from this morning, as we look at these characteristics, there's a statement that we've been adding to each one, a statement that you and I want to be able to make. And if we can't make that statement, then that might be a good indication that this is one of the characteristics of love that we need to work on. You know, this section of Scripture here, it's a love that we're supposed to have for each other. This is a chapter talking about the congregation at Corinth that had a lot of problems. And Paul says, I want to show you a better way. And that better way was love. What does love look like? Well, tonight we pick up by noticing it does not insist on its own way. Love is the opposite of self-seeking. Instead, love is selflessness. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, you may recall that Jesus said that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus loved, and He came, and He didn't look for people to do things for Him. He came to do for others. John 3:16 that we looked at this morning, God so loved the world that what did He do? He gave His Son. Yeah, He was willing to give His Son so that you and I could have salvation. Love is always seeking someone else's interest and not our own interest. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The idea that it's not just about me. You know, the world has the mindset of you looking out for number one. You look out for yourself. Don't worry about anyone else. But the Bible says, no, that's not the case. We're in this together. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to help each other when that help is needed. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, talks about the fact that we're not to count others more significant than ourselves. He says to look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. And so if you see throughout Scriptures this idea that we're not supposed to be, it's not all about us. It's not all about getting what we want. This characteristic of love says, I will put the needs of my brethren ahead of my own. I will put the needs of my brethren ahead of my own. You know, we are to sacrifice self to live the Christian life, are we not? Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, as Jesus talks about, if anyone will come after me, let him, first step here, deny himself. It can't be all about us. Paul talks about that in Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20. When he talks about the fact that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friends, how much better would the church be? How much better would our homes be? if we put the needs of others ahead of our own, if we're going to resolve to love more, it's going to need this characteristic, because love does not insist on its own way. Next, Paul says that love is not irritable. Love is not irritable. The word irritable there, I think maybe it's not the best term to translate that, because when we think of irritable, we think of someone who's easily irritated, right? And that's not what is being discussed here. The word means not to be upset or stirred to anger, maybe is the better. It carries with it the idea of a sudden outburst. Somebody does something and I snap right back at them. Paul says that's not what love is. Love doesn't fly off the hinge into a rage about things. You know, often in our anger, it's very easy in the heat of the moment. If we're not careful, we can say things which are extremely hurtful. And the bad thing about those statements is, y'all, once they're said, they can't be taken back. We can apologize for those. We can say, hey, I'm sorry I did that. But the fact of the matter is, it's there. I can remember my dad talking to me about the importance of our words and how when we say things, they're there whether we like it or not. And he had a little board and he drove some nails through the board. And he said, those are words spoken in anger, son. He said, now we can apologize for those and say, hey, look, I didn't mean that. I take it back. And he pulled the nails out of the boards. He said, but I want you to look at the board. You know what was there? The holes from the nails. Those things were still there. It had not done away with those things. Friends, we need to be very careful about being individuals that get angry very quickly and fly off the handle. Love controls itself when the individual is upset or angry. This characteristic says, I will be slow to anger toward my brethren. And friends, if we're going to resolve to love more, we need to be slow to anger. Next, Paul says that love is not resentful. It's not resentful. The word here is an interesting word. It means to take an inventory, according to Strong's definitions. The verb, according to word meanings in the New Testament, literally means to count, to reckon, or to impute. Love does not impute the evil to the account of another person. That is, love does not keep a record of wrongdoings that individuals have committed. The word in the Greek was originally a bookkeeping term. You know, the bookkeeper, he writes down important information so he won't forget it, right? He writes down the debts on the ledger so that he knows who owes him money and who he needs to collect from. But agape love doesn't write it down. It doesn't keep a record of those things that are done by others. This characteristic says, I will not keep a record of the mistakes of my brethren. Agape love does not hold sin against one who has repented of that wrongdoing. But instead, agape love forgives that individual. We've had lessons on forgiveness. We've talked about forgiveness. And I don't think it can be overstated. You know, Jesus was very clear. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. I mean, we can pray over and over again, Father, forgive me. But if we're not forgiving others, y'all, the answer is no. We can't be an individual that keeps an account of wrongs that others have committed. Agape love, when it forgives, it forgets the matter and doesn't keep a record to bring it up again at a later date. I know I've told y'all the little story before, but it always tickles me. There was the couple that were in marriage counseling. They were working on their marriage, trying to fix things, and the husband said, well, my biggest problem is when we get into an argument, she becomes historical. And the therapist said, I think you misspoke. I think you mean hysterical. He said, no, I said it right. She becomes historical. She brings up everything that I've done in the past that was wrong to her. Agape love doesn't do that. It doesn't keep a record of those things. If we're going to grow in love, then we need to have this type of mindset. We can't be resentful. Next, Paul says that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And here, wrongdoing, it's a reference to unrighteousness. It's a reference to sin. And agape love does not rejoice in sin, whether that be my own sin or the sin of someone else. Agape love doesn't look at that and say, hey, that's great. Agape love doesn't, to take something that's very current in the media, the individual who murdered the CEO of an insurance company. There have been a lot of people that have rejoiced over that. Friends, that should not be the attitude of a Christian. That cannot, that will not be the attitude of a faithful Christian. Because a Christian who's loving as he should doesn't rejoice in sin. We rejoice in sin when we look at things that either I'm doing, sin I've committed, and I brag about that. Or I look at the sin of someone else and I congratulate them in that sin. Friends, that's not rejoicing in the truth, that's rejoicing in sin. Another way that we can rejoice in sin and wrongdoing is to compare ourselves to other people. Well, yeah, I might have done this, but you know, so-and-so over there, they've done this, 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 and this. Here's the problem with that. So-and-so isn't your measuring stick. Christ is. Comparing yourself to so-and-so isn't going to do you any good. You need to compare yourself to Christ. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing because it offends God. Its consequences are pain and punishment. Another way that we can rejoice in wrongdoing is to go around speaking about the failures and mistakes of others, spreading it like wildfire. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Agape love doesn't do that. It doesn't rejoice in those things that people have done that is wrong. Instead, what does agape love does? He says it rejoices with the truth. Agape love rejoices when the truth is taught, when the truth is obeyed. 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. One way to rejoice with the truth is that love finds the good and speaks about that. Love seeks to find the good and speak of it, to build people up instead of destroying others. As a result, this characteristic says, I will not rejoice over sin, but will rejoice in obedience to the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, we learn that God desires that all men should be saved. Is that our desire? Or do we like having people involved in sin because it makes us feel better about ourselves? Or does the person respond to the invitation who's responded many times before, and we say to ourselves, well, what did they do now? Or a person comes forward wanting to be baptized, and we're looking, oh, man, this is going to take 20 more minutes. Brethren, that's not agape love. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth. Paul then says, love bears all things. The word here is related to a noun that means a roof. And the verb here means to cover closely, to protect by covering. Now, this doesn't mean that agape love tolerates and covers up sinful action. But at the same time, agape love doesn't drag it out into the forefront for everyone to see. It doesn't drag it out in the public view. Agape love deals with the problem of sin, but does so in a way where it does not expose to all to see. That is, if someone sins against you, you take care of it between you and yourself. The two of you work that out, and then it's settled. You don't go around saying, well, did you hear what so-and-so did to me? Friends, if you go to someone and say, did you hear what so-and-so, and it's one of your brothers or sisters in Christ, did you hear what so-and-so said to me or did to me, and you have not spoken to them about that yet, listen to me, please. You've sinned. The Bible tells us that if we have an issue with a brother or sister, we're to go to them, not to someone else. Love bears all things. This characteristic says, I will protect my brethren, and I will go to them when sin is an issue. Next, he says that love believes all things. The word means to think to be true, to place confidence in. The idea is, instead of being suspecting and suspicious, agape love believes the best in someone else. The example I've used before in the past in explaining this characteristic is, let's say I see one of y'all's cars parked outside of in the front of a bar. Well, agape love doesn't jump to so-and-so's in there getting drunk. Agape love says, you know what, I better, someone that they know, a family member or a close friend, is unable to drive and they're there to pick them up to take them home. The idea here is, instead of suspecting and being suspicious, agape love believes the best in someone else until it's proven otherwise. Love always believes the best in others and gives them the benefit of the doubt. It puts the best possible construction on their motives instead of thinking the worst. Agape love believes the best even when things go wrong and mistakes are made. John Gill wrote, a man of charity or love is willing to believe all the good things reported of men. He is very credulous of such things and is unwilling to believe all reports of persons or any ill of men unless it is open and glaring and is well supported. And there is full evidence of it. He is very incredulous in this respect. Agape love says, I will attribute good motives to the actions of my brethren. Love bears all things, believes all things. Love hopes all things. Agape love never stops hoping for the best for the object of that love. No matter how terrible an individual might treat us, agape love holds out hope for that individual. Hope that they will turn to God. Hope that they will seek forgiveness. Hope that they will live as they should. Love refuses to take failure as final, but always hopes for that change of heart for someone. Agape love, even when the actions of others appear to be motivated improperly, holds out hope that it was not intentional. Agape love says, I will hope the best for my brethren. And then he says, love endures all things. The word endure means to stay under, to undergo. The term is actually a military term in other places in the Greek literature, referring to being positioned in the middle of a battle, in a very violent situation, where the individual is doing their best simply to survive. And here, by saying love endures all things, he says, even in the face of incredible opposition, agape still does its best to love those around them. No matter how difficult the circumstances are. You know, it was Stephen, as he's being stoned by the Jews, he still loved them, didn't he? He still wanted the best for them. He still hoped that they would one day turn and follow Jesus. He endured the opposition without retaliation and said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Acts 7:60. Stephen underwent that stoning still loving, still having agape for those individuals. The same is true of Jesus, as we talked about this morning. As he's hanging on the cross, he's still believing the best in individuals. He's hoping that individuals will be obedient to his teaching and the teaching of the apostles. He endures the cruelty of the cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Luke 23:34. Love bears all hurts and wounds and never gives up on loving. This final characteristic says, I will always love my brethren. Paul ends with the statement, love never ends. Friends, one day we will walk all the way, if we've been faithful, to the gates of heaven. And love will be right there beside us still. And it will follow us in to that home that we've hoped for. At the end of this chapter, Paul says, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. The greatest of these is love. One day our faith will become sight. One day that hope will be realized. But friends, that love will still be there. And so let me ask you, do you love God this way? Do you love your brethren this way? Friend, will you resolve to love more in the coming year than you have in the past? Do you love Jesus this evening? Are you a Christian? Friend, if not, you can change that. Believing in Jesus, turning from sin, putting Christ on in baptism. Or maybe you have done that and you realize tonight your love's not what it should be. Not for your brethren, not for your Lord. Friend, change that. Whether that be something to handle privately or publicly, whatever it may be, start anew tonight. Let's love like no other. And one day have heaven as our home. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.